GM on .fm, 312-521-8600. That's the text number and the phone number. I got a text here. It says, where is it? These things shift. Please go back to the Spartans top of the hour sounder. I don't know what I'm going to end up with. I might mix every hour up with something.
Yeah. No rules, free form.
No, just figuring it out right now. But that wasn't the one I was looking for. It was an update on the traffic. Somebody said that there was a car on the side of the Kennedy, a Mustang loaded with girls. Outbound Kennedy clears up past Harlem, convertible Mustang with carload of girls on the right side. Oh. That's your traffic report.
Yeah, now that's a traffic report.
There was a story that we talked about an hour ago or so. The guy who has been accused of killing his roommate asked Apple's digital assistant Siri for advice on hiding the body the day the man went missing. And they know that he used the flashlight function on his phone, too, between 11:31 p.m. to midnight on the day that the guy disappeared. And you wonder, geez, they know everything, don't they?
Yeah, how could they even know when to use your flashlight?
Wired reports that Apple told them that Apple stores your Siri data for up to 2 years. Whenever you speak into Apple's voice-activated personal digital assistant, it ships it off to Apple's data farm for analysis. Apple generates a random number to represent the user, and it associates the voice files with that number. That number, not your Apple user ID or email address, represents you as far as Siri's back-end voice analysis system is concerned. Once the voice recording is 6 months old, Apple disassociates your user number from the clip, deleting the number from the voice file, but it keeps these disassociated files for up to 18 more months for testing and product improvement purposes. Really, you know that everything that you've done on that phone is available.
We have just given our privacy away without even a fight, without even a resistance.
What are you going to do, not use the phone?
Well,
that's what they're challenging you to do.
Well,
okay, don't.
Well, you did it for a year and a half.
Well, almost 2 years.
Yeah.
I did not have a cell phone, and now I have.
You got your burner.
I got a burner. So every month I go to one of these stores, put some cash on the counter. They don't know my name.
Sounds like a pawn shop.
Yeah. Give me another month. I need another month.
You throw walk that out. One away and you get another one.
Right. Then I transfer that information onto another phone, and I'm on my way.
But we didn't even, I mean, think about how people used to be so crazy about privacy, privacy, privacy. And now it's not even, and these people are doing this. When you buy a phone, you have no idea that that's going on. They don't tell you that.
No. It says, the company says, it only collects these Siri voice clips in order to improve Siri itself.
Oh, sure.
They say, our customers' privacy is very important to us. However, Nicole Orzer from the American Civil Liberties Union is not satisfied. She's a lawyer with them. She wants Apple to add a link to its privacy policy on its Siri FAQ page so that consumers are aware of it before buying Apple products.
Exactly.
She goes on to say, transcripts of what you say to Siri could reveal sensitive things about you, your family, or business. Siri works for Apple, so make a note to yourself to really think before you speak.
You don't have, and your phone isn't an Apple, is it?
No, it's a,
so you don't have
a banana. It's the shape of a banana.
So you don't have Siri.
A banana phone.
So no Siri.
No. My phone does the basics.
Yeah.
I call, they call back, I text, they text back. That's about it. In fact, I've used the camera a few times, and I think it's full, and I can't even take a picture now.
You use it that many times?
Well, I mean, it's over the last couple of years.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
I don't know how many mega.
I have 4 pictures on my camera. 4, and I took them a year ago. I don't know.
I don't. I just want
a
to have
phone is a phone
for... some kind of anonymity.
Right.
You don't know where it's going once you do it. My pictures are of, like, if I'm sitting by a pool on vacation, I'll go, I want to remember this in January, so I'll take a picture from where I'm sitting. Okay, what are they going to do with that?
Half of my pictures are taken where I don't even know they took a picture, and I look at it, it's like some slurred black thing with some metal or something that I must have been using the phone, and I was walking, and it clicked on.
But as Ken Rakowski was saying, sometimes it records what you're saying, and you don't know it, or taking your picture,
takes
you don't
your
know it,
picture,
and then that's stored somewhere. So that stuff is going on, and you have no idea. And they don't. And if they do tell you, that document they give you with the phone, who reads that?
And the printing is.
Yeah. You sit down, and when you sign off on that, which you do when you buy the phone, you've signed off on it.
Yeah,
so
they
assume you've read it all, which you haven't.
Of course not.
And they have you. And now, where is the story where Google will be able to. Here, listen to this. Google will soon have an unprecedented ability to spy on you from space, theoretically at least. 2 months ago, after much lobbying by the biggest satellite company in North America, Digital Globe, the U.S. government relaxed restrictions to allow for commercially available satellite imagery up to 25 centimeter resolution, twice as detailed as the previous limit of 50 centimeter.
So now they can totally zoom in.
Now, if you're doing V-Boy by the window.
That's it. Forget about
they're
it.
They're going to have that on satellite.
Oh, man.
The extra sharp images from World View 3 will greatly increase the map's level of detail to the point where it can make out, and that's what you shouldn't be doing, or take out anything by the window, 10-inch objects.
Or don't leave it out.
Which means Google will soon be able to see manholes and mailboxes from its hired eyes in the sky. Manholes and mailboxes, wasn't that a Jim Croce album?
I think it was Photographs and Memories.
Oh, something like that. That's kind of frightening.
Well, remember several years ago now, it's probably about 5 or 6 years ago, when they started that whole thing where they would drive down the street and just get your house?
Yeah.
And people were complaining because you could see in the windows. And now that's commonplace. No one even barks at that. You go on, you look up at your house, and you're all cool. But I remember when that first started, people were complaining that their shades were up.
Yeah.
And that they were like, hey, what's going on here? My privacy's being invaded now. Doesn't matter.
So when you get that panicked feeling mid-flight that you forgot to turn off your coffee maker before leaving on vacation, Google will have resolution adequate enough for you to see a recent image of your slowly singeing house.
Nice.
You could also hypothetically pull up Google Maps and see a real-time image of your actual plane rather than a blue dot.
Now, that would be cool. Because don't you often wonder, like, what your plane looks like when you're in it?
No, I assume it's the same as when it was at the airport.
No, but I mean, like, say you're sitting outside and you see a plane fly over and you go, oh, that plane could be looking, the people in there could be looking at me right now. So now there's times when you're in the plane and you're flying over someone's yard and you are looking at them. So wouldn't you want to see what your plane looks like from their vantage point? Like, hey, there we are. We are flying.
I never had that thought.
No?
No.
I
really didn't.
I do. It's just kind of, because you're in that. So often you see a plane fly over and now you're in one. So now you're the object.
All right. I do have that moment every now and then where I see a plane. I go, oh, there are people in there.
Right.
But that's about it. I don't need to see anybody sitting by the window in the plane, no.
Maybe we could find a way where we could actually see them sitting and looking out the window.
Okay. A lot of this stuff, I don't know what we're going to use it for, except to spy on each other more.
Yeah, that's a...
But as you're walking down any major street in this city, if you look around, there are cameras everywhere. And somebody is watching your every movement.
So Are they explaining as to why? I mean, they said it's for customer service, but, I mean, is this all based on terrorism kind of stuff that they keep?
Yeah, they'll probably say it is.
Yeah.
Okay, what is the main purpose of this?
Well, you said that they said it's for customer.
That's from Surrey.
Oh, from Surrey says that.
Yeah, that's from the Apple phone. But the Google Maps thing here? digital globe currently has five birds in the sky. And one, GOI-1, has the ability to capture images at 41 centimeters. That's not United States measurement, so I'm not quite sure. But it seems like it's going to be close.
Pretty close. Let's just say it's pretty close.
The company lobbied hard to loosen restrictions to 25 centimeters so that it could compete with foreign firms that will be blasting their own satellites into orbit soon.
It's just one global television. The whole world is
the Truman Show.
Yeah.
Google's Skybox intends to launch a constellation of 24 satellites in 4 years, which will survey the globe by taking pictures of its entirety three times a day. Jeez. I just like the camera that's at the Abbey Road crosswalk, because that's live, and you can see people going to the crosswalk outside the Abbey Road studios. I think that's enough. I just want to see that. What are they doing? What time is it? People are still doing it?
Yeah.
Okay. Beyond that, I don't know. What do I need to look like? Well, when I'm inside, I need to look like I'm presentable. What do I need to look at? It's too much.
But we've just handed it off. No problem.
Microsoft got a lot of blowback by its owners because they wanted to require the camera to be able to watch you whenever you were playing Xbox Live. Why do they need to do that? Here's what. I'm not worried about satellites. I'm only 8.5 inches.
Whoa.
Yeah, at least little Lincoln won't be visible either.
He's seven.
But he's seven.
He's fine.
I guess my girlfriend and I shouldn't have sex under the skylight in her condo.
Well, now I'm thinking, I sit out in my yard. I'm not doing anything. But, somebody could just be sitting. This thing could be grabbing as I'm just
What
sitting.
Are you doing?
Well, I'm just, reading a magazine or
Are your hand in your shorts?
Picking weeds or
just to keep yourself kind of relaxed?
Yeah, you know.
Love to wave at planes. We live close to Midway.
Yeah.
Okay, in that case, those houses that are right across the street from the airport, you can't really see. You can see maybe what in the window.
You don't think you could see in their yards? You could see
in their
yards.
Oh, they can see in the yards.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I don't really see anything going on when I'm going in and out of MDW. Flying dirty into MDW.
I would actually love to see my plane to see what it looks like when it's landing. You would want to see your plane that you're in?
What's the difference? It looks like all the other planes that are landing.
But I'm in it.
So what?
I'm feeling like when you see that, like when you see it touch the ground, you're feeling that bump that you're seeing on the screen. They should have that should be on your little screen when you land. We should see that.
I don't know why.
Why? Why not? Aren't you interested? It's your plane. You're in it.
Okay. It seems like it would be like every other plane that you've seen touch down or take off.
I don't know. I still get it. Don't you get a kick out of being in a plane still?
Yeah, but I don't know. This thought of 35,000 feet up, if I think about that, I thought, why don't they have glass bottom planes? That'd be pretty cool.
Oh, how cool would that be?
But then I think, I think that'd be too freaky. If people are afraid to walk out on that glass deck at the Grand Canyon.
Well, on our ship and this cruise, they had a thing, a little walkway that they extended out 28 feet past out into the ocean with a clear bottom. So you could walk out and see the water underneath you. And I made it halfway through. And I had to close my eyes and just run.
Okay, and the Willis Tower.
Yeah,
that was a little...
Which was scary.
Scary, and that's only 1,000 feet. 37,000 feet.
Now, the weird thing was our room was underneath that walkway. So when people walked, I could see their feet.
You like seeing that. Because you like seeing people and things.
You could see up, I could see up people's dresses and stuff.
Here it comes.
I mean, it didn't happen all that often, but I was like, oh.
That's where you planted yourself for the entire cruise.
Well, because we had a little balcony there in the morning, you wake up, and, But it was just that I was like, this is not right. They didn't think about
this. This is not right. Guys like me are going to be here.
I mean, because the people are completely oblivious to this.
They couldn't see you down there?
No, no, because when you're looking down, when you're on this little ramp, as I said, it's out 28 feet. It's a round little thing. It extends out. When you're looking down, you're just looking straight down into the water. Now, where my room was with this balcony, I'm looking at it up, and it's kind of over me, but extended out. So I've got this kind of side view. I mean, I didn't see up anybody's dress per se, but you could see people walking with you know, dresses or, you know, like little robes with their bathing suits on, and guys, obviously, with, you know, with pants. But, I mean, it was like, you know, somebody did have a dress.
You'd be there.
You could look right up their dress.
All right. Well, maybe that's maybe they charge you extra for that cabin.
Maybe that's why.
That's one of the highlight cabins if you want it.
It certainly was an obstructed view, that's for sure. But I just thought it was, I mean, is it first because you see the little thing and you go, oh, this is cool. So you walk on it. And especially at night, it was even more scary because it's dark and then you see the white caps of the waves hitting. But during the day, you know, one time we were out there and my wife goes, hey, look at this. You could see the people walking on this. Like, oh, my goodness. So I would go out there like, you know, 6 in the morning.
Yeah, and just plant yourself with a cup of coffee. Yes, that's nice.
You might want to walk out on that ledge tomorrow around 6.
76-year-old man in Utah was sunbathing naked in his backyard next to a church parking lot. He's pleaded not guilty to lewdness charges. Neighbors could see the man from the church parking lot. The backyard fence is chain link with no privacy slats. When confronted, a completely nude man here told the police it was his property and he could do what he wanted.
No.
That is kind of true, but
come on.
If people can see you, there's the law. Even if you're in your own house, if you're standing naked in the window, you can get popped for that.
Can you?
I think you can, yeah.
Well, that's what I said. I was always worried about my shorts that fall down every so often.
Sure.
Because I'm like, I'm in my house, but there's my screen door has a window on it.
Your screen door has a window.
Well, it's not a screen door, but it's a...
Your storm door.
What is that what it's called?
Your storm door.
Yeah, storm door.
Has a glass.
Has a glass. So I'm not doing this on purpose.
Well, tell it to the judge.
Is that true, though? Like, if you're naked inside your house?
I think so. Well, same thing. It's the same thing as this. He's in his backyard.
Yeah, but can't you have a little decorum? You know that it's a chain link fence.
You know it's a church parking lot.
Exactly. So what are you doing? I mean, he's trying to make a nuisance of himself. Because come on. He knows he can be seen, especially at a church.
Well, some people do have that. This is my territory. If you don't like it, don't look. Right? Look away. Look away.
I am not an animal. Yeah, but come on. He's doing this to make some publicity or make a little stink. He can't put a pair of shorts on?
Well, his argument is it's his backyard.
So if I can see in his backyard, he's still fine.
What's that?
I can look through that, and yet he's fine?
Well, the police say no.
Well, that's what I would say.
Okay, well, it's Utah. It's a whole different ballgame there. Police say a Buffalo Grove woman woke up this past weekend after a man was straddling her.
Whoa.
She fought him off. He ran out of the condo through an open patio door.
Jesus.
The part of this story that really caught my eye, residents were being urged to lock their doors and windows. Who doesn't lock their doors and windows? Okay, sometimes you forget to lock the window. You hear these stories of people that live out. We don't even have to lock our doors. Yeah, you do.
Yes, you do.
I don't care where you live. Who doesn't lock their doors anymore? Especially, and I lived on the first floor of a condo, and I, during the summer, would like to have the window open, but then I always thought, well, what if somebody tries to climb in?
Right.
So then somebody told me that you get these electric screens.
Electric? So that could zap
yeah, when
some,
they, right.
It zaps them?
Right. I never got that far, but I only kept it open a little bit so they couldn't get in if they wanted to. But that is a bummer. You want to have some fresh air at night if it's cool.
Yeah, I mean, we keep.
But the doors are locked.
Oh,
that's and especially a sliding glass door. Come on,
especially in a condo complex.
That's what I'm thinking.
You're asking for it there. A backyard in a house, that's one thing, but a condo complex is wide open. Anybody could walk in.
Well, I just thought being told to lock your doors and windows seems...
Although my godson told me that he was house-sitting for a friend, and this was in a suburb here in Chicago, and they said, okay, they're watching the dog, and they said, well, could we have the keys? And the people said, we don't have locks.
What?
They had no locks on their front doors.
In suburban Chicago.
Suburban Chicago. And suburban Chicago next to Chicago. This isn't out in Naperville. This is like...
Where you can leave your doors unlocked.
Well, no, I'm just saying it wasn't in this supposedly safe world. We're talking it was very close. It was like across the street of Chicago. Okay?
Never lock their doors.
They don't have a lock. He said him and his girlfriend were watching the dog. He said, I was up all night. I was afraid to fall asleep. He said they do not have a lock. And he said then when they were gone, he goes, we were afraid to leave the house because what if
right.
while we were gone?
So when they leave and there's nobody there, doors aren't locked.
Right. So then he said, I'm afraid to leave because what if now we come back after we go get some ice cream or something and someone's in the house?
Well, they apparently are aware that could happen and don't care.
I mean, but he said, I could not sleep. I said, I don't know how you, and they were there for like 3 days. I said, I don't know how you stayed in that house. He said, well, I barely slept. I couldn't fall asleep.
Leslie, do you leave anything unlocked at your house?
Not usually.
No.
Unless we're around. And my husband is one of those people. When he leaves the house, he wants me locked in.
Right.
For your safety. Don't right. you leave any doors open.
I got the screen doors locked. I've got the basement screen doors locked. I mean,
And if you have a sliding glass door, don't you have that thing that
right.
bolts into the track?
Yeah, that stops it from even moving.
Well, you still
or,
have, and you've got regular
handle,
locks.
Right, exactly. Mop handle.
Some kind of piece of
what
wood.
What have you?
Some wedge.
You have regular lock sets on those, too.
Yeah, but I would still have, when I lived in a condo.
You're a paranoid individual.
Well, and you know what? I'm safe.
Yeah, sure. Look at him.
I'm not, you know.
We exchanged keys with our former neighbors. They just moved out, and I realized, oh, my gosh, I still have their house key.
Yeah.
So I ran over to the new couple who moved in, and I said, here's your key. If at some point you feel you want to have a neighbor with it, that'll be your decision. But I want you to know that I have a key. I'm handing it to you now, and the house, we will not be visiting your house unless you invite us.
Now, when you've moved, have you ever changed your locks?
Yeah.
Like from the...
What do you mean when you've moved?
Like, say, when you move into a new house. Like, for example, what you're saying now...
You changed the locks in the new house.
Yeah, do you... Like, this person, you had the key because it was the old person's house.
Right, and I don't know that they've had a chance to change locks or anything yet.
See, I've never changed the locks.
Just the toilet seats. That's standard, right?
Right.
Always change toilet seats.
So, I mean,
seats.
In
Always.
Theory, the people that I bought the house from would have a key to my house.
They would probably be
I'll
the
bet
first
you
suspects.
Not many
too.
People change the locks when they
I've
move in.
I've never done that.
Yeah, I do.
But shouldn't you? I mean, if you think about it,
I guess
no.
We're all about making sure that every lock is keyed to the same key, so you don't have to carry three different keys. We have three different doors; they're all keyed exactly the same, so you only need one key for any door in the house.
Because if you weren't a nice person, you could be walking into their house.
Well, that's true, and I wanted them to know that I'm a nice person, and I would never walk into your house.
Who's this?
This is Yaz. Situation.
Oh, yeah. Big up. Da-da-da-da-da, big up.
Every situation.
What is that chorus? Go, go.
This is another XRT staple.
From 25 years
back
ago?
Back in the 80s, yeah.
Okay, 312-521-8600. This text says that I change the locks on my door every time I change the battery to my smoke detector. So it's twice a year I change the locks.
That's not easy to do. I tried to do that. That's not easy.
Do what?
Change a lock? Did you ever try to do that?
No, I'm not a locksmith.
No, I thought I could do it, and man, that looked that I had to call a guy. because we got a new back door. And I was like, oh, maybe I could try to.
I'll bet you can't even change the battery in your smoke detector.
You know what was weird? I had to change the battery today in my thermostat, which I thought was strange, that there would be a battery on my thermostat.
There is?
Yeah, it said low battery. I'm like, why?
Yeah,
there...
a lot of things have batteries that you don't think.
I never thought it would have a battery.
I don't know what this means, and there must be something in the atmosphere as far as technical snafus. The radio in my car, yesterday, turn it on, it's playing for a while, and then it just... I thought it might be the station went off the air or whatever. No, the whole radio. So today, got back in the car, radio was working again for about 5-10 minutes, boof.
And you're not in underneath anything?
No, the whole, all radio stations.
Both bands.
Is that a sign? Is that the sign of, hey, you're done with this?
Right. There's no need to hear that.
FM, what are you doing? It's gone.
It's like, buy me internet.
But why would it start up again and then just fade out? What is happening there?
Because it's almost like there's some kind of a battery that's getting juice and then dying.
Well, I thought initially... Yesterday was a fuse.
Right.
I remember when I had to change a fuse underneath the dashboard.
Remember those things?
And they put it in the most obtuse place on a car.
Right.
I think they're better now, although I don't even know. I don't even know where the fuse box is.
I wouldn't even know.
But I remember, this is why the Japanese got a foothold in this country as far as cars. I remember a guy I was working with got a Datsun 240Z.
Oh, yeah.
And the fuse box was right in the middle panel, very easy to get to, and I'm thinking... Perfect. Whenever I had to change a fuse, I had to put my head up in the dashboard underneath there.
It was impossible.
For a turn signal or something. That's why the Japanese started to take over.
But do you notice that, do you blow those fuses anymore?
No.
Like we used, I used to efficient. All the time, yeah. I've never bought a fuse in 25 years.
I haven't, no. Yeah, but I don't know what this radio
is. So what are you going to do?
I don't.
Are you going to check it out? Or are you
I'm going to check it out. Check it out.
I mean, you can have somebody look at it.
I have to. What am I going to do?
Well,
it turns it on. It goes on,
and it just fades, or it goes right off.
It fades. It's like do them, do 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 do. It's gone. It's cool. Everything. It's all gone.
Wow. But that is almost as weird as today, because you did put the incense on, and you said, I'm finding my pass right now.
My key card.
Let me put my key card because I can't find it for 2 hours. And you
so
lit,
I lit
incense,
the incense, and then
and like
2 minutes later, didn't I know to think that I had a double pocket before? But as soon as I lit the incense, I had some clarity.
Count István Teleki.
From the Andy Griffith Show when Barney did that burning of the incense.
I wish I had a new fingerprint set.
Yes, and he got it.
Yes.
So I should burn the incense, and that will give me some kind of clarity.
Burn it in your car. Maybe your radio will come back.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know what that is, but if you know, help me out.
And so in both times, it has not...
Electrical issue, wires get hot.
Well, isn't that like ice is cold? Don't wires always get hot?
It's two freaking screws to change your locks, moron.
I know, but it's not easy. You got to line them up and everything.
I don't know. Why deprive a locksmith of a nice job?
Plus, you have to make sure that you put the knob on. Now, today, there's a lot less knobs, and there's like these little straight things that you push down on or push up on. So if you put that on the wrong way, then you're going to be pushing up instead of pushing down.
Yeah.
I called a guy.
I'd rather be a moron, have somebody do it right. And then this one, a fuse? So are there no fuses in cars anymore? Maybe there aren't even fuses.
Maybe that's why they're
that's
not burning
out. That's why we don't have to worry about them. Some people remember fuses.
They were really cool, too. There's a small little thing. The two little, they had the two little connectors, right?
Yeah, and they could not have been in a more awkward place to replace
crazy.
Them.
Crazy.
Who thought that was a good design?
Awful. So does it, when you put your radio on, does it initially start up or does it warm up like one of those old-time radios?
No, it's not.
Oh, I'm just saying, we have to find out what...
No, it turns on right away. Yeah.
And then fades.
But yesterday it was on for about, I don't know, 15 minutes, and then... Today, got back in the car, went on maybe 4-5 minutes, and then faded.
See, so we're losing juice.
And maybe that's a sign.
Radio's dead.
It's dead.
Dead.
It's dead completely.
Radio, dead.
Dead. AM and FM, dead. John, on the blower.
Question, why does Jim need to change the battery in his thermostat when he never uses it.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. What are you using it for? You never turn it up, down, around. It's off.
It's a digital one, so it's still on. I mean, it's there.
Is it one of those round flat batteries?
No. It was two AAAs. This is getting the small ones.
And how did you know you needed to change it?
It said on the screen, it said low battery. And I was like, low battery? I would think
it's probably,
that...
It's probably been like that for about 2 years.
Yeah. He never had to look at it. And then one day he's walking by. What's this? Oh, the thermostat. Oh, low battery.
But I have to say, I was pretty proud because I flipped the little thing down. And there was a little two batteries there. Pulled them out. Got some new ones. Stuck them in. Flipped the thing back up. Boom.
Felt like a real man.
Low battery sign off.
Earned your man card for about 2 minutes there.
Yeah. And now he can keep that thing off for another 6 months a year.
Well, there's no need to use it lately.
Sure, I gotta go.
I do too. Thank you.
Plus, it was great, you know, not being home for 2 weeks.
Okay, you don't like to use your stuff. I get it.
It was so nice.
I'm not that happy with this, but Tom says it's going to warm up again.
You're not happy with it?
This kind of weather?
Oh, with this weather.
Yeah.
Oh, you're not happy.
Although it seemed like it warmed up yesterday.
Yeah.
After, because this building, they're of the, let's set it at 49. I'm so happy to walk out of here at 7 and get some heat. Man.
It is cold.
Why does it have to be this cold?
Although it's supposed to be in the 80s, I think, over the weekend. Might rain, but.
I know what's coming.
Have you been out frescoing in this weather? Or no?
Yeah, well, not since we got back. That's why.
No?
It hasn't really been frescoy.
Yeah.
That's why I want to maybe tonight.
It looks
get
nice.
A nice
right
bowl
now.
Of soup and sit outside.
It looks nice today, right now, at least.
Japanese. That's the topic. I have to find.
Issue one. Japanese.
I got to find.
Bye bye.
All right, here it is. A couple of Japanese stories. The Japanese company Orient Industry has created a sex doll so realistic that many people who buy one forget that they're not actually interacting with a human being.
Here we go.
They are so into marrying pillows and dolls and things.
Sex dolls?
These new Dutch wives, that's the Japanese term for sex doll. How you Dutch wife?
I know, a Dutch oven.
Oh, that wasn't was that Japanese?
What, you can tell the difference?
Hey, eat it. That's all the same.
You mean to tell me if you see a Chinese guy and a Japanese guy, you can tell the difference, meathead?
They are crafted from the highest quality silicone material. Silicon, it says here. Is it silicon?
Silicon, yeah, because silicone.
Well, silicone is stuff, too. They use for...
Yeah, but I think silicon is more of like a rubbery thing.
All right. Costing over $1,500, the dolls, which are a product of a high-tech industry in Japan that searches for ways to make sex toys as realistic as possible, have extremely human-like eyes and skin. They also come with their own line of clothing and are completely customizable, so you can alter the doll's bust and hair color to suit your liking. And... warning, this is not bad language, but it is kind of spicy. The latest models even come with movable joints.
It's Szechuan.
So you can bend her in any position you want.
Wow. They think of everything.
The two areas we identified as really needing improvement were the skin and the eyes.
Skin is the most important part. We talk
Japanese media outlets boast that if you buy one of these sex dolls, you will never want a real girlfriend again.
Nice. That's good. That must make women feel really good.
I'm looking at a picture of these things. They're pretty realistic.
Remember I showed you the real dolls a couple years ago? Which are those...
The what?
Real dolls. Remember I showed you that online?
Oh, yeah.
They look like women? And they've got, you know, all
the real dolls.
Yeah.
Andrew?
Gary.
What up?
Do you still have that original equipment in your car for your radio, or is that the original equipment?
That is the original, yeah. It's 23 years old.
Yeah, you got a transistor going bad on that.
Yeah.
And quite honestly, for you to have that repaired at the dealership or something is going to cost you more than going and getting a new radio with Bluetooth and everything else on it. And it probably would be about $400 to get a brand new radio that you'd love. I just got a new one so I could listen to you, and I went to Best Buy and I have Bluetooth now, and I've got I can put my iPod in, I can stream you on the radio, and it's not worth repairing, but it's a transistor that's going.
And how much was the one you bought?
It was a little over $400 installed. And it's beautiful.
Installed. Yeah, because, again, I'm not going to be installing. Here we go again. I'm going to put in a new lock on my door or install a car radio.
All those wires.
There's more than two screws, Jim, on a radio.
Yeah. So it's probably good that this happened because now I can get all the new stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, and I won't mention where I had mine installed, but, you know, I was concerned because they took out the factory radio, and I was like, well, what's it going to look like? I don't want it to look like something aftermarket. I'm telling you, you can't tell. I mean, with all these faceplates they have now, and it's amazing. I'm so happy I did it. And, you know, primarily I can listen to you now. I just turn the car on, and you're there. I mean, it's just great.
Great. You know? Well, I'm going to do that then because... That sounds like, hey, I probably am lucky I got 20-some years out of this thing.
Yeah, it's not worth it. At $125 an hour at your dealership to do that, they'll rake you over the coals.
No, I'm going to get a new one. It's time.
Okay.
Thank you.
Enjoy.
Well, think about that. It is kind of a weird cosmic thing that your car would do that now when you can now get a new radio with Internet access.
Timing is everything.
You would never have needed and never even thought about Internet access.
No, because I'd keep that radio forever.
Exactly.
But he was right on that other part. Andrew was right. You think, oh, it's not going to look like it belongs in the car.
Yeah.
It's a different style and everything. And he claims blends right in. That's important. I don't like something that looks like it doesn't belong.
What color's your dash? Black?
Black.
Yeah. Well, that's easy to
match. Yeah, black is the new black.
Well, it's just easy to match. You know, it's not like it.
Bibble has been playing with his ventriloquist dummy with joints for years. Now, that thing's legs are akimbo every time I see it.
Legs are always crossed.
The Japanese are much taller than the Chinese. Sex dolls cost $8,000. Is that what those real dolls cost?
At least 5 to 10, I could look. But I remember they were quite expensive. Yeah, I mean, it's a person. It's got to cost something.
This is weird, but if my radio goes out, it says on this text, I readjust my steering wheel and it comes back on. Swear to God.
Like...
I don't know, but...
Above, like when you would...
I got to figure he's right that it's going and it's time.
Yeah. Especially since you said it worked for 15 minutes at one point and then it went down to 5. Clearly some juices.
Juice is gone. Well, that's what's happening with AM and FM. That's what I've been told.
The juice is gone.
Juice is just running out. I don't care what other people say. Look at the numbers. What numbers? Well, look at them. You'll find them. I heard a guy on commercial radio today, because you could tell that by the way he was saying this.
Old media?
He was threatened, but he was pretending that it wasn't a threat. Yeah, you hear these stories about digital and how there's advertising that's all migrating there. And trust me, it's not. It isn't going there at all.
Is that what he said?
Yeah. It's not. It's a bunch of crap. Oh. And yeah, all right. Keep thinking that.
I mean, look at this real doll here.
How much? Is there a price?
I can't get past the first page.
That's a doll?
That's a doll.
All right, see if there's a price. That looks very real.
Yeah, that's the name.
But imagine it'd be a little clumsy to take it. Her to a restaurant or anything, never sitting there, although I'm sure some of these guys do.
Oh, yeah.
Wasn't there that story where that guy would put his doll in a wheelchair?
Right, take it to people would call in. It was people that called in. He went to Brookfield Zoo.
Yeah.
And he would push his doll at Brookfield Zoo in a wheelchair. Yeah. Did you want Real Doll Classic or Real Doll 2?
What's the diff?
Or would you, they've got a new thing, transgender.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Why? Well, that's odd because does it have a...
I don't know.
Depends a little packet where you can change the parts yourself?
It's like a Mr. Potato Head.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you want to do tonight? You want to go this way? You want to go that way?
$6,000 for a real doll. For crystal. Yep.
$6,000. Out the door, loaded.
Yeah. Wherever you're going to put it.
Right. What's it going to take to put you inside her? Well, how is that?
What's it going to cost me to put you inside this real doll? Yeah.
$6,000. Thank you.
No ups, no extras. $6,000.
312-521-8600.
Oh, they also have male real dolls.
Sure, why not? You got to get the whole market.
They have testimonials. I was close. I love my real doll.
Testimonials, yeah. Yeah, if you go to the website and look at these.
Go to realdoll.com.
It is amazing how realistic. And this other company that is trying to get in this game or has been, the Orient Industry.
Can you say that, Ori?
That's the name of the company.
Isn't that? I thought
Orient
that wasn't
Industry. Why don't you.
It's Asian Industry.
go and look for that. See what.
What is it called? Orient?
Orient
Industry.
Orient. And there's our $1,500 for a Dutch wife. And these look pretty realistic, too. You want a schoolgirl classic?
Oh, dear.
And it says under that picture, very Zooey Deschanel.
Zoe.
Zooey. It is screwy. I mean.
Oh, but these look a little more. Like the real doll, I mean, this one, this picture that I'm seeing here, like she's got her mouth open. It's like one of those.
Blow-up dolls?
Yeah, one of those blow-up dolls. Hold on, it's opening now.
Yes.
I mean, it's, here, I'll go back.
All right, and those are 1500.
Yeah, that's, see how the little. Now it keeps moving again.
All right, well, when you get a solid picture there. We're talking real dolls and. The quality, Leslie, is now
it's unbelievable.
To the point where your Dutch wife is as realistic as you can imagine.
Real your Dutch wife? I've never heard that term.
That's what
it says here.
Dutch wife?
Dutch wives, Japanese term for sex doll.
Got it.
Are created from the highest quality silicone material.
In the real doll, $6,000. And now they have real men.
Does she always say, oh, though?
Tim?
Hey, Gary.
Hey.
There's a movie that came out a few years ago with Ryan Gosling. I don't know if you know. He's the guy from The Notebook. It's called Lars and the Real Girl, and it's this movie about him coping with the loss. I think it's about him coping with the loss of someone he loved or his parents that died, and he basically falls in love with the realistic doll like you're talking about. And he spends all his time, he takes her out in public, he takes her, you know, to bowling alleys, to eat dinner, and it's about his brother and sister-in-law coming to terms with the fact that he is in love with this doll and spending his time with it. Because at first they think it's all crazy, but then they realize it's a coping mechanism, so everybody, and then it's this real small town, so everybody in this small town starts to accept him, like, being with this doll. It's a very strange movie, but it's one of these indie movies. It's really cool.
It's kind of sweet, it's
just what you're talking about. Yeah, it's kind of creepy, too, but it's all about him, like, coping with and using the doll to cope. And the other thing was, you said it's called a Dutch doll. Does that mean, is it called a Dutch doll because she takes care of herself and you take care of yourself? You know, like,
it says Dutch wife. That's what they call it.
The Dutch wife. Yeah, each take care of yourself, right?
Is the doll in the movie very realistic looking?
Yes.
I mean, for the most part, I haven't seen the ones you're talking about, but you can tell it's a doll, but it does look like one of these, like, realistic. It is a sex doll. That's what everybody's, like, freaked out at first when he starts fooling around with it, but at the end of the movie, it's so funny because this whole small town, including his family, like, comes to terms and accepts him with this doll. So you should definitely check it out. It's called Lars and the Real Girl.
All right. Thank you.
About 5-6 years ago. Yeah.
Thank you, Tim.
Thanks, Jared.
Yeah, the one I showed you there, that's the Orient. That's the one from
the Orient
company.
Industry.
Orient Love Dolls, it's called.
And the one you just showed me, that looks pretty realistic, too.
Yeah.
Of course, that's a step up from pillows that they've been marrying for the last 5 years. Those 6 foot tall pillows with a picture on them.
Well, don't they want to start having robot nurses and stuff too? So they're very into that fake human thing happening on every level. Some hotel is now hiring robot butlers, so why not?
Robot butlers.
Yeah. Robot wives, why not?
They have the robot sex toy tooth, that type of doll as a robot. I've read about that.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Sort of moves on its own or whatever?
I don't know.
I've been programmed to lie to you.
Yeah. I love you long time. No problem.
Go.
Turn it on. See if it works.
A man who is known far and wide for his after-dinner talk.
Take that.
It's the 6 o'clock hour.
Oh, Gary.
Good evening, Pamplona and Pieto. Breaking news. An otter.
Mine's bigger than that.
I beg your pardon?
Pounced on an 8-year-old boy as he swam to a rope swing in a river outside of Seattle. The otter then pounced on the child's grandmother as she tried to intervene. Trappers found several females with pups in the area. They showed no signs of aggression, but trappers did find a male otter acting aggressively. So, the otter was trapped and euthanized.
That makes sense.
Yes, because a river otter living in a river is not right.
That's despicable.
Rivers are for kids and grandmothers to access rope swings.
It's science.
Let's review. Hot coffee is hot. Thin ice is thin. Racetracks have cars racing on them.
Ow!
And river otters live in the river.
That is a scientific fact.
Uh-huh. Developing story. A teen in Utah was killed while sunbathing in her driveway.
Seriously?
Her sister accidentally backed over her, taking the car out of the garage.
Well, that's cast rather a gloom over the evening, hasn't it?
New Tony Stewart rule. No walking, running, or sunbathing anywhere cars are allowed.
All right, that's bad. Okay. All right, important safety tip. Thanks, Egon.
Those stories and more on 240 Minutes. I'm Gary Meyer, broadcasting on the Super Streamliner, the G, on the Gear Force, WGN.FM, Chicago. This is one of the songs the Blue Angels pilots will have in the cockpit for the Aaron Waters show this weekend. They like the Van Halen, the AC/DC. Imagine, you talk about what that feeling is in a plane when you're a passenger on a 737. For some reason, Bibble wants a photo of that from Google.
I'd like to see what my plane looks like when I'm in it.
Okay, well,
I just think
that has to be beyond thrilling.
Now, you had the opportunity to go up in one of those.
I'm going
to
go up there and throw up in a bag so those guys can make fun of me.
Yeah, but for a couple of seconds, I mean, of the embarrassment, wouldn't it be worth the thrill?
I don't think so.
No?
I respect what they do, and I'm not going to pretend like I'm some pseudo-macho DJ that needs to do that. We were talking about real dolls. They're sex dolls out of Japan, and they go for between $1,500 and $8,000, apparently. And they're very realistic looking. In fact, when you go to the website, it says NFSW.
What does that mean?
Is that what it, N?
NF.
Not NSFW. Not suitable for work. Right?
For work?
For watching. For woohoo! What does it stand for? Not suitable for work, right?
For work.
Yeah, so you don't
bring it to work?
Bring it to work. You just pull it up at work. That's what I'm saying. They don't want you to get
in trouble. Oh, you mean on your computer?
Yeah.
I thought the doll wasn't suitable for
but
work.
But it's not. That isn't either.
Okay.
But to look at the website.
Oh, I see.
That right? You weren't on the air there, Creef. Say again.
Not safe for work.
Not safe for work. Or suitable. Same thing.
Oh, so to pull, like, well,
and if it says NSFW, that's
right.
What that means.
But I pulled it up and you saw it, right?
No, I don't care.
Oh.
I don't care what you do. It's not my call. It's freeform.
Yeah.
All that
baby
stuff that applied when we were on the other station.
Doesn't matter.
You can do whatever you want.
Baby.
Look at whatever you want on the internet. It's wide open. I was mentioning a few minutes ago how some ISIS terrorists I know that's redundant.
Yeah.
Some ISIS members are mourning the loss of Robin Williams. ISIS fighters and supporters seemingly want the world to know that they are human, too, as they mourn the loss of comedy great Robin Williams and reveal that they, too, were fans of his Hollywood blockbuster Jumanji.
Wow.
They continue to expand across northern Iraq, but they took to Twitter to say it was a shame that Williams died, adding that, in this case, he liked Jumanji. Another user, Abdullah, tweeted, good movie, loved it as a kid. Now on with the killing.
Now I have to get back to my mass suicide.
Exactly.
My mass slaughterings.
To pushing people into the mountain area where they can starve to death.
Got towns to sack.
They want people to know that they are human, too.
Well, it's good to know that comedy is the universal language.
Speaking of Robin Williams, Jimmy Fallon did a little tribute to Robin, and then he broke into his Robin Williams.
Yeah.
So let's play that.
But before we get into the show, we, like all of you, were shaken up a bit last night. When we learned that genius comedian and actor Robin Williams passed away. He was one of a kind. He's one in a million. He's, like, unbelievable. If you ever saw this guy stand up, you wouldn't even, if you don't know his stand-up, you should YouTube it right now and just watch it. He's just amazing. He was funny, and he was fast, and he would weave in and out of characters. He would get Shakespearean. He would just get into, like, oh, yes, thank you. Yes, there's a guy sitting at home going, what the hell are going on there? Yes. Then there's a kid going, that's not the way. Yes. Then he's like, Martha Graham, Martha Graham, and ball and chin and kick and ball and you. Yes, thank you. Woo! Woo-hoo! And you'd watch him. And you would watch him, and you would cry laughing, and you would think, I'm never going to see anyone like this human ever. It's just amazing. His brain was always thinking 10 steps ahead of what he was saying. He was like the Muhammad Ali of comedy. For a taste of the divine madness of Robin Williams, here's a clip of Robin's first ever Tonight Show appearance with Johnny Carson.
But yet a man who will know himself, but yet not touch himself.
What is that from? Is that Midsummer Night's Dream, or what?
That's from the self-abuse soliloquy. And yet a man will know, and yet look, vile fool, come thee hither. No! Thou hast forced me to wear designer jeans for no reason. I will walk now, and cameramen shall be going, where's he going now?
All right, the rest of this gets pretty visual. And when you watch Robin Williams, you realize maybe 30% of his stuff is funny. But it comes at you in those flashes where you don't realize that the thing he just said wasn't funny, but something else is coming.
Well, you're just laughing at him, too, because physically he was always moving.
Right. It was probably half of the selling point was him jerking around and just having that tight jaw.
If you saw a transcript of what he said, it wouldn't be funny.
No.
But
I'll tell you, Fallon does a good Robin Williams. Now, Jimmy Fallon got hired on Saturday Night Live because of his impressions.
Yeah.
That's what Lorne Michaels saw.
Yeah.
And he does nail those.
Oh, yeah, he does. And people were saying, oh, was this too soon? But I think he did it in a tasteful way. He didn't overdo it.
No, he should have done that whole tribute as Robin Williams.
Yeah, right.
And now I'm dead. So now, what are you going to do about it? Going to cry? Huh? Well, I did it.
But he even did the way he would walk around with the legs.
Yeah, he had it nailed down, that's for sure.
Yeah.
But the volume of what Robin did was the selling point, because if you started to slow it down, like I said, there's about a ball player is a successful ball player if he hits one out of three times,
right,
gets a hit. So that's what his average was, and that's why it worked. Lisa.
GM.
Hey.
Hey, how nice of you to join us this week.
Oh, thank you.
Wow.
That'll teach me to take a vacation.
I have a question for you with regard to the dolls. You had said that the price range was between $1,500 and $8,000.
Yes.
So that begs the question, what exactly is the difference? Is it a cup size? Is it a hip circumference?
It might be a customization package where the more you add or whatever costs more for whatever reason, but the $1,500 model, to me, it looked about as good as the $6,000 model. Now, somebody said they went up to 8,000, so that person must have researched that there are $8,000 models out there. But in the website, it says $6,000. That's the highest price we could see.
So if I order in the mail and I want the longer package,
that's going to be extra. Did you look up the male models?
I could look up the male. I'm not sure.
The male dolls?
Although they did actually have a weird thing where they just showed the package.
Well, that's about all we're good for. Let's be honest, Lisa.
$8,000 package?
Yes.
You must want the $200,000 box.
That would be lovely.
Now, again,
it's good to have you back. You guys have a good night.
Thank you. I don't think I'll have any time off until Thanksgiving. So that's a while, right?
It's 3 months.
Yeah, that's a lot of work to do. Get some in here. I think Labor Day we get off, okay?
Right. But everybody does.
You have to. You have to honor labor by not working on that day. Yeah, see if you can.
Yeah, I'm trying to get there.
And remember, it's N.
Not suitable for work, right?
NSFW.
Not safe for work.
Yeah, don't access that with your computer. Do that at home and come back.
Okay, I'll be right back. Oh, hey. That one picture again of the girl laying down.
Yeah.
That one always.
While we're searching for that, we want to get some weather from T. Skilling here. Because he was on earlier and got some weather.
We had a little backdoor front come through, so we're back to north-northeast winds again, and the temps will go down a little bit this evening. Another little high pressure in. A little worried about this weekend. There are going to be some thunderstorms. They'll be in clusters. They won't be the whole weekend, but when they happen, there's enough moisture around. We could have some pretty good water out of these. And, you know, we've got the Air and Water Show and a lot of stuff that goes on the weekend. So that we're going to have to keep an eye on, because the timing of that will determine whether or not it interferes with what folks want to do. But we'll see the humidity start coming back Friday. You know, and it's interesting, at the end of next week, some of these models continue to puff up a dome of warm air. Now, we've had some false alarms on this a couple times this weekend, because it seems like this summer is determined to stay cool. But if we puff up this dome, that's kind of a warm-looking pattern, although it also looks wet.
Thank you, Tom. Tom on every day at 3 o'clock. And we spend a good amount of time together in that segment. So if you can, please join us for that.
The real doll of the real man doll is the same price, $59.99.
And the customization is pretty much just in the package area. Although some might want it beefier all around.
Length or girth? I think they have both.
Let me say it again. NSFW. Please. Do these dolls come with a warranty?
I don't know.
What could blow out on it? What could possibly go wrong?
Now, one listing here is boy toy dolls. I don't even know what that means.
I'm sure you're going to find out.
There's a lot of weird stuff on here.
Yes. And you just can't pry yourself away from it.
But I tell you, it's very easy to order one. I mean, you look at this picture, and if you're not careful with your mouse here, you click on it and it says purchase. Like, it's right there. You can't really play around too much with your mouse, or you're going to order a $6,000 doll.
Imagine that coming UPS.
Oh, that's got to come in a pretty big box.
Yes, it can. Watch it now. NSFW.
Right. Yeah, right. Well, here there are some options. I'll take a look at that.
Yeah, I'm sure you are. I think you've ordered one.
You can get. Oh, geez.
Oh no.
Oh yeah. I mean, you can go. They have all different body types in terms of height. And, yeah, you know, the woman on the caller was talking about, now these are all female bodies, but you can get cup sizes. But they all seem to be the same size, the same price, you know, $6,000. But you can get, a C cup or a B cup or an A cup, double D.
Okay. That's
big butt, small butt.
What's the timetable here? If you ordered today, will you have it by Christmas? Is it?
I think it's
because they have to customize
it. 2 to 3 to 4 business days is normal shipping. It's like Amazon. Could you imagine one of those drones dropping this at your house?
How much do they weigh? Yeah. I mean, because the shipping on this has got to be, that's got to be included.
Well, I don't.
Come on.
I don't want to go into, because if I would have to hit order, and then maybe that's where all that's, I don't want to get into that next level. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that'd be pretty funny. Well, guess what Bibble got in the mail today? Well, got his sex doll.
It's not my computer, so what's the difference?
That's right. Suddenly, Brandmeier, hey, somebody ordered me a sex doll.
Hey, baby.
What the heck?
Why? We're just having fun.
Your sex doll has arrived, Johnny B. Speaking of Japan, a Tokyo clothing store has just started selling a guys-only garment known as the Kahi Oyosumi Bra. It's designed to help perk up a man's chest called moobs by some while he sleeps. If a man has good pectoral muscles, he is at just the same risk as a woman of having them gradually stretched and left out of shape. A man who wears this bra to bed at night will find everything is held firmly in place and looking good the next day.
So why am I wearing this at night?
Because your breast could sag.
It's the man's ear.
Man's ear or bro.
The bro. Yeah, I think Kramer liked bro and Mr. Costanza wanted man's ear.
But that's on the market in Tokyo. I would love to go to Japan and just see this whole scene. What? You see those pictures of Tokyo?
It's just wall-to-wall people. That can't be fun.
So what you do is you have to, because the city is so dense and so populated, you take a train in from where you live out in the suburbs, and then the train drops you 10 miles out of town, and then you ride a bike to your office because there's no room. Then they've got those multi-tiered driving ranges
right,
where they got about 10 stacks of people hitting golf balls. They love the golf.
You know what's crazy? In Denmark, the bicycle has the right-of-way over cars and people on the streets. The bike does not have to stop. They tell you, be careful when you're walking. There's a bike lane. You'll get hit. They don't stop. They don't have to stop. They're not going to stop. They had triple-decker bike
racks.
Racks. Triple-decker. Three levels of bike
racks. How did you get up to the third tier?
There's a little stair.
There's a little platform stair up there?
Yeah. Three.
You got to what? You got to carry the bike downstairs?
Well, I mean, it's not a huge stair. I mean, it's not, you know, the one on the ground is not that high. It's just there, so it's probably, you know, maybe 15 feet. So there was just a little stair, and that's how you got up there, and you pulled the bike down. I mean, and this was a whole block long. This wasn't just like for five bikes. This was a whole block, three.
So mostly people on bikes?
Yeah, I mean, it was. They said that people actually get a subsidy from the government if they buy a bike because they want to try to be all, you know. And I mean, it's everywhere you go. The triple-decker bike rack was unbelievable when you saw that.
Yeah, but that Tokyo scene, from what I've heard, it's just so small.
Yeah, I mean, that.
And so many people.
Well, I don't even know how you walk on the streets there.
I know, but I know there's a lot of signage.
From a lot of neon.
From these movies.
And it seems very low.
Yeah, from what I've seen. Now, maybe that's goosed up by the movie company.
Yeah. Boy, this real doll thing is really freaky.
Are you still on it?
I mean, you can order, I mean, the color eyelashes, eyebrows, and you can.
I hope so for $6,000.
Yeah. I mean, you can, and there's some other body parts and hair that you can order. Jeez, this is crazy. Although I can't see the shipping. It's not showing me shipping.
I just shipped my doll. I shipped my doll.
It's got to be. I mean, if this is like, if it's like a human, then it's got to weigh at least 95 pounds to 100 pounds if it's like one of these, you know, like a model.
Right. It's not a hollow center, is it?
Right. No.
It's got to be completely thick.
Yeah, so to ship something that weighs 100 pounds?
I hope that's included in the price, because still, $6,000, I don't care how,
maybe that,
how many eyelashes, maybe they give you multiple, you know, like when I ordered the fake sideburns and goatee, so you open this package up and it's all this hair, okay, we're going with this tonight, we're going with landing strip.
It says you can buy extra faces. So if you get tired of the face, you could put another face on it. $550 for an extra face.
See, that's where they make their money, in the accessories. They got it down.
Additional face.
And they have a whole bunch of faces you're looking at right now?
And, you know, but you laugh, but this place is a business. So someone's buying these things. As crazy as this is.
Have you seen that movie that guy mentioned?
No, I've never seen Lars and it's called The Real Girl instead of Real Doll, but it's based on The Real Doll.
Lars and the Real Girl.
Real Girl, yeah.
Okay. I got to see that movie now.
But, I mean, they've got these things in some positions that you wouldn't.
All right. That's what they said. They have the movable joints.
Yeah, well, these are movable. These are incredibly movable.
Legs and arms are akimbo.
These are gymnast movable. These are unbelievable flexibility.
I think you've already ordered one, and you don't even know it because you said the
I know.
Order yeah, the, icon
the
is
purchase,
right there.
The purchase button is right there.
I can't wait for this package to arrive in about 3 weeks.
Merry Christmas.
You'll get a call at work. Honey, there's a package here from Japan.
It's 300 pounds.
Yeah. And it's not the leg lamp like in Christmas Story.
Man. And where do you, I mean, if you actually did buy one of these, I mean, where do you put this? Do you put it in a closet?
Well, I think the guys that are buying this, they want it out in the open. They want it on display.
Oof.
You're going to have it sitting
right
there.
Even with company over? This is Tiffany?
I think if you've gone this far, the friends you're associated with, they're very accepting of your lifestyle.
They bring theirs over.
Probably.
Well, that was funny, though, because several people did mention about that person that would bring that doll in the wheelchair to Brookfield Zoo.
Yeah.
That was several people that saw that guy.
I forget what started that story. There was something that triggered it, and then people called and said, yeah, I saw this guy at Brookfield Zoo with a woman in his wheelchair.
And he was feeding her.
They and we were trying to figure out if they charge the woman entrance fee for being in the wheelchair or whatever.
Yeah, because, I mean, they don't charge you if you bring your Cabbage Patch doll. So why should they charge you if you bring your real doll?
That's your argument. Sounds like you've gone through this before.
Well, I have to get ready. So when I bring it out to public places, I've already got some arguments set up.
312-521-8600. And tomorrow, Eric Childress will be in at 5 o'clock to review the following movies: The Expendables 3, Dinosaur 13, and The Giver.
That's Jeff Bridges.
I saw him on a talk show. He said, I guess he's the guy that was the catalyst to get this made into a movie, and it took him 12, 13 years to do it.
Like 18 years, I think he said.
Or 18?
He wanted something to do. He wanted to direct his dad in a movie. That's how long. His dad has been dead. His dad was Lloyd Bridges. I mean, his dad's been dead for 5, 6, 7, 8 years already.
All right. And I don't know what the advance buzz is on that. It was a huge book, The Giver. I remember that.
Oh, really? You remember? I never heard of it.
Yeah. And
it got a Newbery Award kind of thing and all that.
So we'll check those movies out tomorrow with Eric.
Well, didn't you say you saw some kind of a junket?
Yes.
In L.A.?
In the hotel we were at, they had, and they do this a lot out there.
Well, that's the business.
Because that's, you know where they make movies?
Where?
Los Angeles.
Oh.
Yeah, and they have these junkets, and they bring people in, and they rent out these hotel rooms where the press come in, get, looks like a nice spread from what I could see walking by.
Well, they got to make those critics feel good.
And they pay them to come out and do all this. Well, that's why these movies cost so much.
Where do you think Dean's going every weekend? He's always in L.A. or New York.
Yeah, and that's part of the baked-in cost of these movies, to have these guys come out, and you don't know what they're going to say about them. It's a gamble, but you got to do the dance.
Well, what do they always say? Isn't it at least $25 million in marketing?
Oh, at least. A lot more in some cases.
So that's,
yeah,
it's not just the commercials and the trailers.
That movie cost $20 million, but then it was another $25 million to promote it.
Yeah,
and you don't know if these guys are going to like it or not.
You didn't see any of the.
They had a big poster in the hallway outside the elevator. The Giver and all the stars, and somebody at the hotel said that, I guess Katie Holmes, she's in this,
right?
Meryl Streep
and Jeff Bridges
and some other big names were wandering around the hotel. I didn't see any. I was really expecting to see Dean as I was checking
How
out.
How funny would that be?
Yeah. It's the only time I can see him now.
Yeah, we can't. He's not allowed to talk to him anymore.
No, he heard internet and he just ran. He said, oh, I actually want to talk to people.
Oh, okay.
Oh. No, he didn't say that.
No.
It was just one of those things where when we were going for custody of whatever, we were dividing.
You lost custody of Dean?
Right, we were dividing up the property. Dean, gone. Robin, gone.
You should have had a better lawyer.
Bertrand, gone.
You should have had a better lawyer. You should have got Raoul Walsh.
They said, we'll have Leslie do the traffic and the news. How about that?
There you go.
That's all you need with your little pony show.
And they made you pay alimony.
All right, Leslie's going to be here, and speaking of Leslie, in just a few minutes to do her news.
Hopefully. Maybe they took her.
Yeah. All right. Until that time, what do I got? I got a lot of stories. I don't know what's striking my fancy right now.
You got a lot
now.
Of them. I mean, there's a ton on
there. I know, but some I look at 3 o'clock and by 6.
See, that's why you laugh at me. That's why I have several different eyeglasses. I may leave the house and feel like looking like this. And then by the time I get here, I say I want to look like different.
And it doesn't change anything. That's the sad part. Gary Meyer on the Streamliner, the Super G, on the Gear Force. You can text or phone me at 312-521-8600. There was a baby born on the Eisenhower today. Little Austin Harlem... First Avenue, I would imagine.
Austin Harlem would be a cool name.
Yes. I don't know. Leslie, do you know where this baby was born today on the Eisenhower? Whereabouts?
In a van. I don't know.
By the river.
Down by the river. I'm just thinking of a naming situation. Austin Harlem.
Austin Harlem is a cool name.
That's kind of cool.
Austin Harlem, First Avenue.
Independence. Damon.
Little Damon Austin.
Damon Laramie?
No.
All right, well, that was...
Garfield? Independence?
On the Eisenhower, but I'm thinking, okay, the Eisenhower seems to be backed up all the time, but at 2:30 in the morning?
Zip.
You hope you can get right down it, but if you're that far along, doesn't matter.
Costner.
Little Austin Costner.
Austin Costner's perfect.
Austin cool.
But then I heard that they took the baby... To Mount Sinai Hospital.
That's what I'm seeing here, taking them out.
Why wouldn't you take them to either Loretto or Rush?
Rush,
which is right there.
Makes sense. Or County, even.
Yeah. Where's Mount Sinai Hospital?
What? Where's Mount Sinai?
I don't know
where Mount Sinai is.
I know that's where Yahweh is, but I don't know where the hospital is. But wouldn't it seem, unless that's where their doctor was from, but, I mean, you would think if the thing was born on the highway, you would take it to the closest hospital.
Well, that would make sense.
At that point, it's
out.
The toothpaste is out of the tube. So
and it ain't going back
diff?
In. But I didn't know where Mount Sinai Hospital was. I'm like, geez, there's about four hospitals.
Right? All right, well, little Austin Damon Costner's doing fine. Some of the most ridiculous things people have put on their resumes this year. Under salary, my employment is not up for grabs to the highest bidder. Somebody put that on their resume.
Wow.
Well, then.
Objectives. To find an office where I can enjoy great coffee, snacks, conversation, and humor. This helps my productivity immensely. Not something you want to put on your resume.
No.
Duties. Entertain coworkers with wit and ability to eat large quantities of sriracha. What is that?
Sriracha is a hot sauce.
Saying yes to everything and regretting it later. Those
okay.
are one of the duties
yeah,
that somebody
I'm a
put...
wacky guy.
Wow. Is this working for people?
Under experience, from 2008 to 2011, self-employed, illegal drug sales.
Oh, entrepreneur.
Or under experience, I am a Jedi master of software development.
Is this working for people?
No.
No, they're saying don't.
It's the most ridiculous
stuff.
Oh,
all right. My gosh.
Accomplishments. Donated over 3 gallons of blood in my lifetime.
Now, that's actually a very generous individual. It takes a while to donate that much.
I have a garage which rivals Iron Man for the purpose of building prototypes.
Wow.
Hobbies, hanging out with friends, watching old movies, online shopping at work.
That's good.
Watching Food Network.
Well, at least I'm not surfing for porn.
Watching Food Network, playing softball, and sketching Spider-Man.
Nice.
No, there's no delayed adolescence out there at all.
Some more objective stuff that this service has seen over the last 50 years. To become a billionaire. To be able to wear feathers to work, appropriately, of course. Okay. Qualifications, I have incredibly entertaining hair. Under
that was Conan O'Brien's.
Under experience, plenty.
Enough.
Accomplishments, my last client called me a god, so that was award enough. Interest or hobbies?
What's so wrong with that?
Okay, well, that's some of the stuff they thought was interesting. Under interest / hobbies, gossiping.
Good.
This service also asked creative and marketing executives about the most unusual ways people have tried to get a job. Some of the responses: we got a shoe in the mail with all of the candidates' qualifications written on it. It said he wanted to get his foot in the door with us.
Ba-dum-bum.
We got a cutout of a hand in an envelope with the applicant's resume and cover letter. The letter said he wanted to offer us a helping hand.
See, I wouldn't find that interesting.
As a creative. Yeah. I want to say some guy had himself made into a Lego character. Sent that. And that was very effective because it showed such creativity.
Here's one. I was in a multi-story building and a woman put her name and number on a kite. With the words, call me, the kite blew towards the CEO's office. He called her for an interview.
Okay.
Something like that. Eric, you're on the blower.
Gary, Elton, I used to be a suburban fire department paramedic, and I think I can explain why they took the mother and baby to Mount Sinai. Is, you know, as long as both patients are stable and you get permission from the parent hospital, they pretty much will give you permission, you know, to go to... you know, the hospital where she was probably, you know, being cared for long term.
All right. It's good to know.
Every now and then, I was in the suburbs, and every now and then we'd get patients that would say, you know, will you take me to Mount Sinai? And it's like, no, we don't go to Mount Sinai. You have to go to
Mount Sinai.
Yeah, well, that's what they called it. You know, they didn't know any better. So, we just say, no, we don't go that far. Once we pass the hospital, then it's no longer an emergency. But since then, they've relaxed, you know, the rules. So as long as the benefits outweigh the risks and everybody's stable and say, hey, your doctor's at Mount Sinai, you've been cared for over there, they know you, we'll take you over there.
Okay, and I'm thinking now, Eric is one of the regular callers.
Yeah.
I was trying to amass my 8 regular callers. Only callers, it seems. Eric, you're one of them, and that's a good thing. Calls.
Yeah, I think you should go back to the old format, though, personally.
What format?
You know, being on AM. You know, I can only listen to you on the computer. Can't listen to you in the car. Can't listen to you at work.
All right, well, again.
It's not like you have a choice.
Yeah, okay. Eric, done deal. Tomorrow, AM 720.
All right, I'm calling Mr. Big.
Screw those bastards. Opinion. I'll do what I want.
Right.
I got it. I'm all ready. I'm going to be there.
Can't you hack the transmitter and just put this on the AM?
There hasn't been a good DJ barricading himself studio story for a long time.
You got me going now. The resumes that I've seen come into radio stations, I saw one on a postcard. Once I thought, okay, good luck. Written in Crayola. And the spelling errors.
Mega typos, yeah.
Always kind of surprised me. And then you hear these people, I don't know why I can't get a job, why they won't call me. I understand that there are probably a lot of other people that throw their hat in the ring, but you have to look at that thing and redo it.
Have two of your friends take a look at it afterward. We've had people showing up here for internships that, I mean, barely got out of their jammies to show up.
Really?
Come on. Didn't your mom tell you to just put on...
No, that person's actually on the air here. Oh, I think you're mixing that up with somebody else.
They have airships.
Yeah.
They got hired.
Oh, yeah. Never mind.
But you're right. If that's what they think they can get away with, I don't know who's telling them that. And they are not ready for prime time.
Nope.
Once you walk in that door, that first impression is logged. Whether it changes or not, okay. But you know when you see somebody, you've already gone, I don't think so. And you don't want that to be a negative right out of the box.
And some scientific study this week, you make your first impression in like the first 2 seconds. And more often than not, that is already indelibly etched on the viewer's brain.
You have to remember, too, it's not just your qualifications. What you're also asking is, does the person who's hiring you want to see you every day? Because that's what's happening. If I'm hiring you, I'm going to have to deal with you and see you and talk to you and interact with you. So it's not just...
Yeah, don't come in your pajamas.
My qualifications, it is a personal thing. Do I want to see this person ever again?
Well, some of these people are being told that they can get away with that. Apparently, where are they learning that? Who's telling
TV.
Them that?
TV. Huh? It makes it yeah. TV.
TV, yeah.
Because everything's cool and fun and
right.
wacky.
Be loose and just be yourself.
Yeah, but you know, but the other side of the coin, look at when you watch these shows that go inside of Google or Apple or these places, they're dressed like that.
Yeah, well, that's...
They've got hoodies and
shorts. That's great, but
that's
shorts.
Cool as long as you can hack any computer on the planet.
Yeah.
Then you can dress like that.
Right.
When you first show up for that interview... I'll bet you most of those people put on something nice that first day.
I would hope.
Although, I have heard where some of these employers will look at you and go, why are you wearing a suit? This is not what we do here.
Right.
We're loosey-goosey.
You're almost...
But if you get an interview at Google or any of those places, okay, then you can do that. But you're talking about these kind of traditional...
Right.
Hiring situations where they don't think that's all that cool.
No,
they have no idea that
happens.
They
prefer to see you in a suit.
Yeah, you don't go to a bank and wear a hoodie with a flannel.
Yeah.
Unless you're making a withdrawal.
Yeah.
A dangerous withdrawal.
Yeah, everybody that works for the Blackhawks, all the men wear suits.
There are...
Suit and tie every day, interns, everybody.
There are two uniforms with the Blackhawks. There's a hockey uniform,
yeah.
And then there's the other uniform.
And they are... And I like that. It feels like things are getting done, and they are.
Well, they are.
Yeah. I don't know. We talked about this, I don't know, when, a few months ago, the dress code breakdown. And it's fine. I'm not saying you have to wear a tuxedo to work, but... If you want your airline pilot to show up with flip-flops and cargo shorts and a tank top, go ahead. I like when I see the guy walk on.
And they
when
look
I look
crispy.
At that pilot, I go,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, this guy knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
No kidding.
I like that. You see some of these guys with the American flag tie.
Yeah.
Yeah, I see a lot of pilots with that. Yeah, I like it buttoned up. I like to see some gray hair a little bit, maybe.
Yeah, just right, yeah, right
like
around the ear.
He's earned his stripes.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well,
does it bother you when you see a female pilot?
No. In fact,
I just keep my fingers crossed there's a man in there, too.
Oh, here we go.
Oh.
Actually, I like female pilots. I've cataloged this. It might be wrong. But when the plane is cleared and they're still taxiing around, the male pilot will turn it and whip it, I call. That's what I call it.
Oh,
they turn
right.
it and whip
have...
it. The female pilot, every time, come around, stop.
And then look.
And do an extra check
right.
and then do that.
Oh.
I don't know. I find that
That's because she's checking her makeup.
Hey, here we go.
I always ask my wife.
Sisters, I'm just joking.
I always ask my wife, is she going to know how to get there?
How did Bibble get hired, says this text. didn't you bring your Mortimer Snerd doll with you and let him do the talking?
He was dressed up nice. He had a little bow tie, a little suit,
sure.
little hat.
This is my agent. He'll be doing the talking for me.
I'm
Bibble's agent.
Imagine some of the job interviews this knucklehead's been on.
Well, that one you saw. Remember when I was sweating through my clothes?
We had lunch one day. This was years ago.
Well, I'm going for an interview at a PR thing, and he says, well, if you're going to come downtown, why don't we go out to lunch first? Because my interview was like at 2 o'clock. I'm like, okay. It's summer. It's 90 degrees. And he says, let's eat outside at the Art Institute.
Did you know the Art Institute has an outdoor, in the center of the Art Institute, they have an outdoor restaurant?
Now, the It's adjacent to the new wing?
No, this was before.
Really? It's been there a long time.
Really?
It's in the middle,
yeah.
I didn't know that, so when I heard that, I thought, well, I'm going to try new al fresco. So we're sitting there, and he's got the vest and everything, and I look up, and he is mopping his brow, and he's talking, and he's like, and now I see him pitting out his suit.
I had a dark blue shirt on with a tie and a vest, and the whole shirt was,
soaking
wet.
Did
dark
you strip
blue.
Down, I mean, at least a bit while you were eating?
Didn't so matter. He was soaked.
I was far gone. I mean, my hair was just wet, like the sides. So now, after I left him, after this hour and a half schwitz I had with him, I go to the place, and I'm like, oh, my gosh. So now I go in the bathroom. And I'm like, what? I'm looking.
Got
I'm like,
the hair blower. Hand dryer.
I was under the hand dryer, and I'm trying to dry. My arms are soaking wet. The shirt is now dark blue. It's dark blue. I can't save the shirt.
And he didn't get the job.
Yeah, no. And surprise, surprise. I walked in there.
And I'm sure that was the reason.
He's nervous.
I was. That's what it looked like. I'm like, this guy has never been in an interview. I was dripping.
I couldn't believe it when I looked up in my soup, and I thought, oh, my God, this guy is going to melt.
Oh, I mean, Gary's like, yeah, why don't we go out? There's an outdoor thing. Okay, great. I'm there for 5 minutes. Like, I'm dead. I'm finished.
People,
I
ask people to go out to lunch during the summer. A lot of them turn me down now because they know I want to sit outside.
Well, now we know. I didn't know at the time.
Half the people I know don't like sitting outside during the summer.
Well, I love sitting outside, but
it's hot.
Were they in the direct sunshine? Was there
it was humid.
Or
it was like a 90-degree.
And they have umbrellas and stuff, but
I knew I was dead in the first 5 minutes. I said to myself, I don't even know why. I was thinking the whole time at lunch, I'm like, I shouldn't even go to this interview. Because if I saw me walk in, I would kick me out.
Did you make mention of that? Did you drop? Hey, I was having lunch al fresco with Gary Meyer.
I was over at the Art Institute.
Oh,
and,
my God.
Yeah.
I mean, it was
with
just
radio legend Gary Meyer.
Yeah, that helped.
I was like Albert Brooks from Broadcast News when he has the flop sweat. Yeah.
Whew. Oh, well.
But I was flopping before I even got there.
I can't wait to be outside right now because it's so cold in here.
Are you cold?
It's been cold in here all afternoon.
Well, but in general, it's been I know what you mean in terms of getting in the car just to warm up a little bit.
Yeah. As you walk out of the building. Oh,
yeah, it is.
Thank
a little,
God.
But it's not. I'm not overly cold. You're overly cold? Well, are you high-beamed? Or?
Watch it.
But you live downtown, so you haven't even had the warmth that some of the rest of us have enjoyed.
I moved out to where the temperature is at least 15 degrees warmer. So I had to go 60 miles from the city.
Ferguson, Missouri. Oh.
Right. I'm in Shanahan.
Chichanan.
Yeah. So it's an hour and a half commute.
Oh, okay.
It's worth it.
Yeah.
I get a bigger house for my money.
Bigger bang for the buck.
Sure. Got 6 bedrooms. Yeah. Like I need all those bedrooms.
Property tax is real low, too.
I interviewed a guy that showed up in parachute pants and a T-shirt. The topper was his boots went up to mid-calf.
Oh, God.
Nice.
I hope that was for that place off the expressway where they do the chicken legs and the jousting.
The medieval times.
Medieval times. That would be the only job he should have.
In our house, we refer to those as his Sunday Zubas.
Sunday Zubas.
When you see that, somebody trying to dress up but still wearing those crazy Zuba pants.
I had parachute pants.
Did you?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
I never had
parachute.
David Bowie wore them, so that
before they were
cool.
Parachute pants, though.
I had to wear them. That was all that they sold back then.
That was the raves. Yeah, that was a rave. Everybody wore
them. I draw the line at cargo anything.
I've never had those.
No. Those cargo shorts and pants.
But I did have those Zumba when I used to golf a lot, because everybody would wear those on the golf course.
All the football players would wear those.
Yeah. The big waistband and everything.
Nice.
Hey, I'm going over to Johnny's after you want to come get a beef dipped and a lemonade.
Nothing better than that and a mesh T-shirt.
In the cargo, the parachute pants, that's what all the, remember the kids that used to spin, the break dancing?
They wore those.
They used to wear those when they had bring their cardboard out and put their cardboard down the street. Remember that?
Yes, and do the blind bucket boys from Alabama all wear them too?
Probably.
The ones that beat on the 5-gallon plastic buckets?
Because that breakdancing is sort of coming back again. It's not as It's not completely.
It's called popping or something.
I mean, it's not breakdancing anymore, but it's kind of back again. So I would assume that maybe that look might come back.
There were three guys on America's Got Talent last night that do, not on the floor as much.
They're spinning on their heads and stuff.
No, they don't even do that. They might want to because I didn't get what they were thinking this act was. They would get one behind the other, and then they'd do their arms so it looked robot-like.
The robot thing.
But there wasn't much else going on. And one guy's double-jointed so he could wrap his arm all the way around. But beyond that.
Did you watch the whole show yesterday?
I saw a lot of it.
Did you see that little kid play the piano?
Yeah. Nine-year-old kid.
Nine-year-old kid.
Was unbelievable.
Oh.
And there was another act. I thought that voodoo guy or whatever that guy, guy was pretty good.
Is he the one that's gone
with
kind
Desmond
of viral?
Or something?
Yeah, he has an imaginary friend.
Yeah.
And he had Scary Spice come up there and he did something to his little voodoo doll and she would feel it.
No.
He burned the hands on the voodoo doll and then he showed her hands and they had dark marks.
Two ash marks on each palm.
Yeah.
And then he took a stun gun and stunned the voodoo doll and she went nuts. She said, oh, my God, stop doing that, and he wasn't touching her.
He wasn't even near her.
And I assume she's not a plant.
No, I would.
She's a judge. It seems like that would be a problem.
And then this other act that I think will probably be the winner, they're called Blue Tuesday or something like that. They work with a video screen.
Oh,
they do ballet.
That's very cool. Yeah, this
ballet,
it's that couple,
and then they
right?
have images on a screen, and they sync up.
Only reflective?
They sync up with these images. It's a really
interesting act. They've got a screen behind them with shadows, and they do something, and then the shadow does something else while they're doing it.
And then they hook up to the shadow.
And then they mesh with the shadow, like they're the shadow, and then the shadow goes off into
something
else.
Because I'm thinking of, what was that, the Palobolus Dance Company, and they showed up at the Oscars the one year. And did all that stuff, but they were behind a screen, so you were just seeing their shadows.
It's a very unique act.
Yeah, very cool. And they only met, because I saw them when they first first auditioned. They only had met 3 days before they appeared together.
They're both accomplished dancers.
Yeah, and someone said you guys should get together.
And then they have this guy that makes these images for them on a screen, and then they sync up, and that should be the act that
wins. It is very cool.
But that nine-year-old...
Oh.
You should see this kid play piano. And he's he's already a sophomore in high school, I think.
Yeah, he's 9 years
right?
old.
Oh,
he's
okay.
He's scary.
He's a prodigy.
Yeah,
savant.
He's very scary.
So are these like the finalists now?
Yeah.
Are we getting down to the
semifinalists, I believe,
Because it's almost the end of the summer, so the show's got to be over pretty soon.
Right, this is their summer. And this show does... good ratings all summer because there's nothing
the number one show, if you will.
Really that's competing against it, but still they can wrap up the whole summer with a new fresh show every day or twice a week or whatever it is.
Although they still haven't found an act, the winners have never really been an act that you'd want to see. The first year, I've only been watching it since Howard Stern has been the judge, but I mean, a dog act won. Who's going to go to Vegas to see a dog act?
But isn't that part of the prize that you get a show in
you
Vegas?
You get a show.
Oh, a show.
Yeah.
Not like a Celine Dion a show.
I think if they took the top three or four acts and made a show out of that, they could probably stretch it.
I think
it.
They do that like American Idol does, where they, you know, like do the tour.
That's how you get something out of it. But, some of these acts would not sustain more than a few minutes.
I mean, a dog act? What am I going to spend $100 on a dog act?
But a guy who could tase you just using his psychic abilities.
Okay, speaking
now,
of
that
dog
would be
acts,
fun.
There's a guy on there who balances himself, and he's really strong.
Oh,
he can
balance
on one finger in a pop bottle.
Yeah.
And then he has his little dog running around him on his body. It's pretty interesting, actually. This little dog is doing stuff. And it was really good last night.
Yeah. It's on tonight again, too.
They're going to eliminate, I think a number of people tonight.
Yeah.
All right. Just about ready to pull into the Gareport.
keep the seatbelts fastened until the light is off, though.
When we landed at O'Hare, I don't go out of O'Hare that much. We usually go out of Midway, but we were out of O'Hare. And we landed, and I swear it was... 15 minutes before we got to the terminal. He's driving.
I think I was in Bolingbrook.
Yeah.
I don't even think he landed in O'Hare.
How far away are those runways?
I don't know. Could you tell where you were?
Well, when he landed, we turned and I saw the Rosemont Arena Horizon
right.
Theater.
First Tweeter Bank
theater.
Center.
Yeah, I'll say theater.
Oh, right, so you were at the north end.
Yeah, so I could see that right across the expressway. And beyond that, then I thought, okay, and now we're driving, and he cuts over, and he's cutting over here. It was 15 minutes just driving
Did
back
you
to
go,
the terminal.
Because aren't the new runways at the south end?
I haven't looked at my charts lately.
When we landed, we were at a spot where we saw the bays where they fixed the things.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't. There were no planes. We weren't near any gates.
So you guys actually landed at Palwaukee,
right? And then
they just
over.
Drove Milwaukee Avenue south.